This is a talk on what's called a plan of life, a spiritual plan of life. It's one of the kind of basic building blocks. I'm trying to give you a few key building blocks over this summer for your own spiritual life for many years for the future, hopefully. The thing, this plan of life, it's one of the terms we use in the seminary. I think Opus Dei are one of the first groups I know of that have used it as a thing in terms of the laity's formation. And the notion of a plan of life is basically there's some things you need to plan if you're going to grow in your spiritual life. If you think of your diet, you'd think, well, I need to have some protein, need to have some vegetables. I'm going to plan when I'm going to have those, how much I need to have. Your plan of life spiritually has things that should be in it that aren't random. They're not just, well, I like doing these things. Now, if we're going to look to the saints, if we're going to look to the wisdom of the church, there are things that have a purpose. Like all the moving parts of a car engine, you want to make sure they're all in there, but how much? So you're not yet St. Therese of Lisieux or of Avila or John of the Cross. You've got some beginning stage. Well, you need some of the elements that are in a plan of life. So what I'm going to try and articulate in this is the notion of progressively increasing in things in your plan of life, but also what things are essential to be in there at any stage, even if you're at a beginning stage, only going to have a small amount of those different elements. So there, on that sheet of paper, there are, if you can start kind of looking at this stage, that's what I'm going to be kind of talking through. So I've said there, a plan of life. I said a monk has his rule of life to apply the tools for acquiring holiness. So if you were a monk, you would be in a monastery and a bell would ring at various times of the day. And the bell ringing would tell you exactly what you needed to do if you were going to become a saint. Now, whether you became a saint would depend on whether you did it well, but everything's laid out for you. Bell rings at this time, you do that prayer. Bell rings at that time, you do your spiritual reading. Bell rings at that time, you do silence. It's all laid out for you. You're not a monk. You don't have a bell ringing all through the day for you. But you do need a plan. He's got a rule of life. You need something, a plan of life in the lay state. That just as the monk has it all laid out for him, you have the key elements that you're going to do as well. Even if you're only going to do a small amount of the key elements. So I've said there, one, plan what you will do. Two, plan when you will do it. Three, plan where you will do it. So we're going to try and articulate what I mean by that. So what you're going to do, I'm going to talk through five pillars: weekday mass, daily rosary, regular confession, daily spiritual reading, and last week we talked about mental prayer as a thing in particular. You need something of each of those elements. You need to plan when you're going to do it. So if you don't plan when it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. Yeah. Same with your study, with your work. You've got to think when you're going to do this. And then with that, where are you going to do it? Put the word hinges there. I say identify hinges in your daily routine that you can easily attach a prayer routine to. So for example, lots of people when they're working commute. They commute at fixed times each day. They know that is going to happen. I'm going to leave the house at the start of the day at that time. I'm going to get to work at that time, be in the parking lot then. Those fixed moments of your day are hinges around which, you know, a hinge is a small thing on the door, but a huge door swings around it. Likewise, there are certain fixed moments in your day that a huge pattern of activity kind of revolves around. And if you can identify what those hinges are, those are easy ways that you can think, okay, I'm going to do a 5-minute block of that prayer. I can attach it to that hinge, and that gives me an easy way of kind of making sure it's going to happen. So think, what are the hinges in your day? And it might be Tuesdays, I've got that mechanical engineering class that finishes then, and I get past the chapel at 10:45. That would be an easy moment every Monday that I could drop in then. What are the hinges in your day, the hinges in your week? So that's one of the concepts I hope you're going to take away from this talk. Think, what are the hinges? Similarly, plan where. Where are you going to pray? Where is a good time to do your spiritual reading? It might be where that saying my rosary while walking back from that class on that day, or to that class on that day. Or that the best place for me to do my spiritual reading in terms of when I won't be distracted is my bedroom. Or it might be, actually, I know that classroom's always pretty empty at that time. I can just pop into there after that and just have 5 minutes of quiet reading. Plan what you're going to do, plan when you're going to do it, and plan where you're going to do it. You're not going to become a saint by accident. You need to plan it. And you need to have a plan that has flexibility in it, so that when somebody interrupts you or whatever else, you can kind of still make things work. But if you don't have a plan at all, you can be almost certain these things just aren't going to happen. So that's the first very basic point. Have a plan. Next category, I'd say a plan of life, five pillars. What needs to go into that plan? Now, if we look to the wisdom of the saints, so I gave you a copy of Saint Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life. He's synthesizing, pulling together 1,800 years worth of tradition before him, all kinds of other practical saints. He's in particular writing for lay people in the world. What are the tools you need to have to become a saint? I've identified five pillars there. First, weekday Mass. So I said, as I mentioned when I talked about mental prayer, Mass is objectively the greatest and most important prayer. It's the prayer Jesus gave us. We're required to go to Mass every Sunday. That's the kind of bottom line minimum of worship we owe him. But if we want to have one of the great tools for growing in holiness, getting to Mass more than just Sunday is a big deal. So weekday Mass is one of the five pillars. And so may very well be the case, well, I can't realistically get to Mass every day. Well, could you add 2 days a week or 1 day a week whereby I'm now going to not just go on Sunday, but I'm kind of going to plan into my week. Every Wednesday, I'm going to get to that Mass because I know coming back from that class or whatever, it's going to work with a schedule. So plan daily Mass, one of the great tools. It's the prayer Jesus gave us, and in communion we have the great grace himself to grow in holiness. Daily Rosary. So Our Lady, the one who brought our Lord into this world, the one who, if we go to her, will take us to our Lord. In all of her apparitions, what's the prayer she asks us to say? It's the rosary. And I know the testimony of my own life would be common with so many people. When I committed myself to saying the rosary every day, all kinds of other things in my life changed. My intimacy with the Lord, things he did in my life flowed out of my commitment to daily rosary. What did the saints talk about? Devotion to Our Lady, in particular the rosary. Maybe saying a rosary every day is too big a step at this stage. Well, what could you do? A decade each day to easily fit that in, walking to and from a class? Or one time during the week to, well, a whole rosary I'll do on that occasion because I know I'm going to be with that group of people and whatever. this is one of five pillars. When is it going to happen? You won't become a saint by accident. Regular confession. I said at least monthly, if not every 2 weeks. So we talked about this last week. Francis de Sales, his advice. And I made the analogy with you last week. As you grow in other parts of your spiritual practice, grow also in the frequency of your confession. But don't leap to weekly confession if you're not also growing in your other bits of the spiritual life, because things will get out of balance. And this is why I would suggest to you, if you map out a plan of life of what you're aiming to do when you get home and so forth, have a wise priest or a wise spiritual director of some form, even if you don't see them regularly, to say, look, this is what I'm mapping out. Does this look in balance with the different elements of it? Daily spiritual reading. I say, to form your soul, character, strengthen virtues, fight vices. I say, not academic. So some people like to read fancy books, books that make them think they're intelligent, yeah? That they're reading a book on the processions of the Trinity and why the spiration of the Holy Spirit is different from the procession of the Word. That's not likely to help you grow in sanctity. There are types of book that are aimed at you growing in holiness, that have practical advice. You need books that are pitched for kind of where you're at, that are going to be relevant to you personally, what you're working through. So if you're a person that struggles a lot with impatience, then a book on a good saint talking about anger would have a relevance to you. But if we're going to form ourselves, we need wisdom coming to us from outside. And so daily spiritual reading is a huge thing. One of the pivotal tools. And I would suggest to you, if so kind of the standard advice that we say to our seminarians, that I'd say to a priest, is 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day of reading gets me through a book actually fairly quickly if I'm committed to that much. But even to say, well, I'm going to do 5 minutes a day, if you're doing that every day and you're reading the right kind of book, as in a book that's got kind of short, pithy advice, 5 minutes a day can actually give you regular, reliable input to guide you. And then the fifth of the pillars I put there, mental prayer, which we talked about, it was actually 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? So mental prayer, spontaneous prayer. I said then, subjectively, this is your most important prayer. What's the prayer that kind of integrates everything else in your life? Your mental prayer, your personal prayer with the Lord. That if you're going to Mass, but you don't have a habit of mental prayer, you're not going to engage with Mass well. It's just going to be an empty ritual. Similarly, you could say with a rosary, you need some time each day that you are committing to be with the Lord, to talk to him spontaneously, to listen to him in silence. Some time each day of mental prayer. What have I said there? I said a distinct time each day to become recollected amidst our busy world. So St. Jose Maria Escrivá says, we need to be, laity today need to be, contemplatives in the midst of the world. Maybe one of you here is called to be a monk. It's very unlikely you're all called to be monks and enclosed nuns. Generally speaking, you here are called to be in the world, but you're called to somehow be contemplatives in the midst of the world. To do that, you need something of a habit of regular mental prayer. I noted the mnemonic to you before: acts, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. You need something of each of those in your regular practice. Silence and listening, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, if mental prayer is this personal, intimate conversation with him by whom we know ourselves to be loved, that's St. Teresa of Avila's definition, then that a conversation involves listening, not just talking. Now, what could be the minimum length of time for you to do mental prayer each day for it to still be useful? Well, I'd say committing to it is going to be more important than the length. Even 5 minutes every day is a huge difference from not having a regular amount, a regular slot. A practice, dare I say, at your phase of life that is very common is to have spurts of enthusiasm. That every Thursday I go and do a whole hour before the Blessed Sacrament. But a little bit every day kind of checks a different box in your overall spiritual development. When could you do 5 minutes each day? Some of us, it's actually the first thing we wake up that might be the best moment. Many of us, the last moments of the day to do 5 minutes in our night prayer. If you're going to do a longer chunk, then you're going to need probably to find a moment during the day when you're going to have to plan and schedule that in. Many people I've guided over the years, the jump from 5 minutes to 10 minutes is big. 5 minutes is almost just calming ourselves down, remembering he's real, remembering I'm in his presence, thanking him, asking him for a few things, saying sorry for a few things. 5 minutes goes pretty quickly. Extending that to 10 and then to 15, qualitatively, these become different experiences. But the first thing, this notion of a plan, I'm trying to say, you need to say to yourself, this is one of the things I need to be doing every day. How much can I commit to each day? And then plan how to make it happen. Back to my notes here, the mental prayer section, I say a daily topic to talk to God about. So if you're doing longer than 5 minutes, I've given you these sheets of scripture quotes for the different texts for each day. The notion being that there's something, some topic, some meditation you're going to talk to God about that day. This is one of the ways we feed into our prayer the freshness of encountering the Lord. That I don't just have the same couple images of the Lord that I'm always, my favorite couple scenes of the Bible, that I'm kind of broadening my meeting of him, my experience of him, by varying which texts I'm meditating on. That those topics, a different daily meditation, help keep the Lord fresh in my mind so that it's truly him I'm meeting, not just my imaginings of him. Last section in terms of bold there, say daily prayer, how should we pray? Use a mix of different methods and forms. Some vocal prayer, some mental prayer, so that you have a variety of the tools that you're using. That there can be a risk in many people beginning in their spiritual life that they think being holy is about doing a lot of the thing they like most. I like litanies. I'm going to do another litany. I found a litany of Saint so-and-so of whatever that I'm going to add that to the 3,000 other litanies I say every day. Or someone else who thinks, being holy, that's about saying lots of rosaries. I'm doing even more rosaries now. And then other people for whom their whole vision is, it's all about peace and silence. And the kind of only prayer they do is just being quiet and still. Well, each of these do something different within us. They're each good. We need to have something of each of those in our spiritual life. Not just the things I find easiest, not just the things that I kind of am already familiar with. bottom of the page there, I tried to now make that specific. I say progressively increasing your plan of life. And I've got two columns there, one for a beginner, and I say slowly advancing to. So first the beginner, I say Sunday Mass and one weekday Mass. A daily decade of the rosary, not a whole rosary. 5 minutes daily mental prayer. 5 minutes daily spiritual reading and monthly confession. That would be, I'd suggest for you, a beginner's package of each of those five pillars. That would give you something of the tools, even if it's only a relatively small amount of each of them. And slowly advancing, not advancing in impossibly unrealistic steps that you then don't stick with, to daily Mass, daily 5 decades of the Rosary, 30 minutes of daily mental prayer, 15 minutes of daily spiritual reading, and weekly confession. So what I've tried to articulate here is the notion you need to have a plan if you're going to become a saint. You need a plan that's based on the wisdom of those who have gone before us, and that you need some bits of each of the tools of the spiritual life, particularly those that are useful, applicable, easily absorbable for the lay state, and to progressively increase in as you grow in your spiritual practice. Okay, on the reverse side, I've mapped that same kind of thinking out in a table. So I say a plan of life for a St. Therese camp counsellor through the rest of your year. So not, you know, while you're here at camp, we have programmed in for you 30 minutes a day of mental prayer. But what are you going to do when you leave here? Well, I've put in four columns there, four different states of life that you could be thinking to kind of to get a notion that there's a practice you're trying to distill down to a smaller version, but that you would progressively seek to grow in. So on the right hand column I describe a monk's rule of life, and next to it a numeri of Opus Dei. So Opus Dei are lay people. A numeri is a celibate lay person, but both that column and the monk, you can see very similar, even though they have slightly different titles, use of these five elements I've mentioned. So for the numeri of Opus Dei, he would have 30 minutes morning mental prayer and 30 minutes of evening mental prayer. He'd have 15 minutes of spiritual reading, 15 minutes of study reading. A daily rosary, various short prayers during the day like the Angelus, a daily visit to the Blessed Sacrament, daily Mass, and confession every week. Then you can see the column there called a long-term realistic goal for you guys. So I would suggest that I think 30 minutes of daily mental prayer is a realistic long-term goal for you to be seeking to have for the long term in your life. That 15 minutes spiritual reading, I think, also is a realistic long-term goal to work up to. And certainly what I've mapped out there, rosary, some other random short prayers, occasional weekday Mass and confession every 2 weeks. But then the left-hand column there, a short-term plan, maybe. You're each going to be different, but what could you begin with when you go home? I say 10 minutes of mental prayer to commit yourself to, 10 minutes of spiritual reading, a daily decade of the rosary, a morning offering to start your day, some night prayers, and a confession. So the last thing I'm going to quote is that quote, I have a little heading there, say, prayer helps, not hinders daily living. And I have a quote here from John Paul II, his document Dies Domini, which is about observing the day of the Lord, Sunday. And he was just noting how lots of people think that, well, giving time to praying on a Sunday, well, I'm losing time. I don't have much time in this busy world. Do not be afraid to give your time to Christ. Yes, let us open our time to Christ, that he may cast light upon it and give it direction. He is the one who knows the secret of time and the secret of eternity, and he gives us his day as the ever-new gift of his love. The rediscovery of this day is a grace which we must implore, not only so that we may live the demands of faith to the full, but also so that we may respond concretely to the deepest human yearnings. Time given to Christ is never time lost, but is rather time gained, so that our relationships and indeed our whole life may become more profoundly human. Time given to Christ is never time lost, but is time gained. St. Jose Maria phrases that when he talks about what he calls multiplication of time. And he observes what many people talk about, how actually when we commit ourselves to time praying on a regular basis, we somehow find we have more time in the rest of the day, not less. That practice of prayer somehow adds a quality to how we use the rest of that time. Because we all know we waste a lot of time. Committing ourselves to regular prayer somehow helps us gain time, multiply time. We end up with more time. So if the thought of doing some of these things, how can I do that? This is a thing to bear in mind. Planning this will give you better use of time, give you, in that sense, more time. So what have I talked about today? This notion, a plan of life. You're not going to become a saint by accident. You have to have a plan. Use the wisdom of the saints. In particular, plan what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and where you're going to do it. And these five pillars I've mapped out are the five most relevant tools for a lay person in the world today.